supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. The universe is more crowded with stuff than astronomers previously thought. Let's concentrate on the clutter with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, a galaxy is a fairly big entity, and now we have to rethink how many galaxies there are in our universe.
The results that we're talking about here, Dave, actually come due to the kind of examination of the Hubble Deep Field photographs that were originally taken in 1995 and other photographs and surveys from other instruments since then. And as it turns out, mathematical analysis leads us to conclude that what we've seen so far is really only one-tenth of the number of galaxies that the universe probably holds. So if we look at what we estimate is the current number of known galaxies at 100 billion, then the number that's actually being considered for galaxies in the universe is 1 trillion.
How many stars on average in an average-sized galaxy?
Well, let's say 300 billion stars per galaxy. No, I'm not going to tell you how many stars that would be in the universe.
Or how many planets might be orbiting those stars.
If the assumptions that the Kepler spacecraft is giving us are anywhere near correct, it seems likely that every star has at least one planet, then that severely inflates the number of planets throughout the universe into a number we can hardly even consider saying.
Also inflating the number of planets that are potentially in the Goldilocks zone orbiting their star.
It's probably safe, although not scientific, it's probably safe to say that we could take 1/100th the number of planets in the known universe currently, 1/100th, and we'd still come out with billions of planets located in what's considered a Goldilocks zone, that region around the star where water can exist as a liquid on that planet's surface.
We've learned in conversation that most of the stuff of the universe, though, is dark matter. Does this change that ratio with this newfound estimate that there are 10 times as many galaxies as previously thought?
Well, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that yet. There's still a lot more analysis that has to be done. But one of the things we have to think about is that there is a lot more of the universe beyond what we know of as the observable universe. So we're talking about an age that's much older than what we have been able to observe into before. And we're also considering that the continued expansion of the universe beyond what we're capable of seeing is a volume in which there are far more galaxies. Now, are we talking about very, very young galaxies in the very early universe? Or are we talking about larger galaxies? Or are we talking about smaller galaxies that eventually combine to become larger galaxies that we know of? It's almost as if we're saying, Dave, that we're beginning to understand that the observations we've been making have only been in this volume of one-tenth of the known universe.
A bit of a refresher. Is it still one of the immutable tenets that matter is neither created nor destroyed?
Yeah, the laws have not changed. The rules haven't changed. How the phenomenon manifests themselves as the universe can do it outside of the environment that we know of here, well, those things can be different.
So all that stuff, newly discovered, yet to be discovered, all existed in that first moment, the Big Bang?
Well, that's the idea, is that it all existed back then when all of the forces that we know of, all of the energy that we know of, were all tied into one unified force at the very beginning of the universe.
This is an awe-inspiring conversation, and let's take that sense of wonder and head out of doors on a fall night this week.
In the evenings in the west, just after sunset, there are three planets available to us, Mars in the south-southwest, Saturn in the southwest, and Venus over in the west-southwest. So it's essentially a string going across the sky. The only problem is that Venus and Saturn are very, very low on their horizons, and so you'll need a clear view of those horizons to catch sight of them almost immediately after sunset. Venus will be immediately obvious, but Saturn will be much more subtle and harder to pick up before it disappears into the early evening glow of sunset. If we swing our vision around to the eastern side of the sky just after dark, we can see the constellations of the fall sky. We can see Pisces, we can see Pegasus, Andromeda are all there. Uranus is a planet that's also over on that side of the sky, unfortunately so far away and dim to see unless you have clear dark skies and a medium-sized telescope.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Bitz, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight.